You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There's an app for just about everything. Proof of that is Honoring Water, a new app that teaches you Anishinaabe songs about water. Anishinaabe is the name used by Native tribes, including the Odawa, Ojibwe, Potawatomi, and Algonquin peoples. This app was developed by Elizabeth LaPonce, who's an assistant professor of media and information and writing, rhetoric, and American cultures at Michigan State University with us. Now, welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Miigwech.
Tell us, what does this app do?
In Honor Water, the player is singing along with water songs, which are all in Anishinaabemowin, which is our language. And they are learning alongside that teachings about water and the ways in which water is vital for well-being, as well as the ways in which we are protecting the waters and how singing can contribute to that as well.
This app stems from so much work that you've been doing throughout your career, looking at art and gaming and apps. How have you found these to be useful not only in teaching but in healing?
Really, what makes games so powerful is that they're a combination of design, art, and writing brought about through code that also includes audio. So you have all of these elements all brought together in a way in which you're bringing action forth from players. So for me, really, games have been a way in which people can act through healing. Whether or not the game is really responsible for that, I often question. From my own perspective, the meaning is in the meaning you make. And so really, it's what the player chooses to put into a game and into that experience. And so what I hope to do as a designer is simply create space for forms of expression and playfulness and pathing through teachings in ways that can be healing.
Now, are these songs new or are they traditional?
All of the songs in Honor Water are new. The reason for this is that traditionally many songs are protected by protocol. And when I'm collaborating with communities and in my own work, I'm always interacting with elders and community members and doing my best to honor the teachings. And water songs are particularly vital. They're part of ceremonies and often sung while walking for the water. And so therefore, understanding that games can be accessed by all people, you don't necessarily know who is going to get access once you do release something publicly. So therefore, all of the songs in the game are written for the purpose of understanding that they can be sung by anyone. And all of the songs in Honor Water were written previously for Nibiwaks, which is an ongoing gathering of Indigenous women and allies who walk along bodies of water and sing songs for the well-being of water. Two songs are written by Sharon Day, who coordinates the Nibiwaks, and one song is written by elders who gathered at the Oshki Gijik Singers annual gathering where Indigenous women come together to share songs.
Did you have a specific user in mind as you developed this app?
Initially, the game was really created for my own community, so Anishinaabeg that are living on the coast. Understanding that it is difficult for us to constantly be traveling back and forth to share songs. So I wanted a way in which we could share songs from a distance, along with having everything in writing and in ways where people can look at the language and teachings. And games are a really incredible way to do that.
So you actually have heritage, Anishinaabe heritage, yes?
Yes, certainly. I'm both Anishinaabe and Métis, as well as Irish.
So then I'm wondering, what does Indigenous game development mean to you?
Really, for me, it's about self-determination. So when I'm developing a game, I'm working very closely with communities to determine what their needs are, what is the purpose of this game, and then how can that be distributed in the best way. So for example, one project, The Gift of Food, which is a board game about passing on traditional food knowledge, is actually only played within the community it was created with, which is in stark contrast to Honor Water, where it was determined by elders and by the women involved that it could be released for all people, understanding that we're at a precedent for the need to protect the waters.
And certainly for us in Michigan, surrounded by the Great Lakes, more important than ever.
Absolutely, especially considering right now one of the main issues is looking at Enbridge 5, the pipeline in the Great Lakes, and understanding that it will break at some point. This is a part of our teachings. These are a part of our stories. And so, you know, the game is really meant to be a point of hope for people. You know, it's looking at the positive, but certainly through games you can also look at more pointedly the places that these are happening at, these issues are happening at.
And it seems there's certainly a need for games made by and for the indigenous community.
Really, we each have our own voices. So to me, there can never be enough of interaction out there in the world. So for me and my voice, I'm coming from being Anishinaabekwe as well as Michif. And my voice is going to be my voice, but we also have other indigenous game developers like Alan Turner and Rene Neho, Manuel Marcano, and then certainly understanding also we have really big figures in the game development world, John Romero, who made Doom, which is foundational to games, is in fact himself Yaqui and Cherokee, and will soon be working on a game in which the lead character is an indigenous scientist. So simply, there can be a game like that where there's a role model for people playing the game, particularly youth, to see that an indigenous person can be a scientist. In the games that I do, I'm really hoping to pass on teachings.
Now, you were a panelist in the first ever Indigenous Comic Con. Tell us more about that and what it meant for you to be a part of it.
Absolutely amazing, because it brought so many creatives from comics, games, film, animations, and transmedia together in one space and a safe space. You know, very often as Indigenous creatives, we might be one of just one, could be just the one of us, or we're one of a handful of people who we know walking through those spaces will understand automatically where we're coming from, and we don't have to justify ourselves. So because we were all together in the same space and we can skip over explaining historical trauma and colonization and genocide, really, then we can move to the next step, which is talking about the work that we're doing, not just for the why, because we all understand the why, but the how and what it is that we're making, and also considering future collaborations. It was really brilliant. I'm very grateful to Lee Francis for putting that together. Games are for everyone, and anyone can create in this space. And there are many different roles. You could be involved in audio, code, design, writing, art, of course. And even within those aspects, there are many different positions. And so I really encourage people to consider the ways in which they can contribute to games and really be making games themselves right now.
Where can people find the app?
They can find that at honorwater.com, honorwater.com.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, interesting work and beautiful singing, as we've heard throughout this interview. We want to thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Miigwech.
Elizabeth LaPonce is an assistant professor of media and information and writing, rhetoric, and American cultures at Michigan State University.